Well, we sure appreciate the Lord this morning and the privilege of being here, and I would like to give you a few thoughts that the Lord has been talking to me about this week. If you can read my poor penmanship. As unto the Lord, that's what we have written on the board. And I'd like to start over in Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 5th verse. If you have your Bible, feel free to turn with me. And we've got a lot of reading this morning, and so I would appreciate your prayers as well as your patience. You bear with me. I have a thought that the Lord has been talking to me about, and my prayer is that every one of us will get a hold of it as He's given it to me. And Ephesians 6 and the 5th verse says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." We have a very similar set of verses in Colossians, the 3rd chapter. And it says almost the same thing, but then it goes on to say, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." There's so much in these verses. I'd like to break it down a little bit, and we probably won't get everything out of it that there is to get out of it, but you know how the Word of God is. It's so deep. And my prayer is that each one of us this morning would get what He wants us to get out of it. Servants. He was talking to servants. He also said in 1 Peter, "For servants to be subject to their masters, not only to the good and gentle, but to the froward." What did Jesus say? He said, "Love your enemies." What thank have ye if you only do good to those that are good to you? Don't even the publican, the tax collectors, the people that... He brought it down to somebody that the Jews could identify with as somebody that was despicable. Somebody, even these people that you don't like, these people that you think are not got a lot of character, they do that. People that are nice to them, this is the power of the gospel. He said, and I want to just say that the Lord was not at all condoning slavery, that kind of thing. But the Lord, in that time, there was a form of slavery that existed, and it might not have been right, but there people had debts to pay, and nations would overcome other nations, and they would take slaves, and they would have servants, and we had bondmen and freemen. Paul said, "I was freeborn." The captain that was taking him into the castle said, "With a great sum obtained I of this freedom." And so we know that there were different classes of men. And Jesus came not to directly apply His gospel to the civil the civil class, the civil workings, but He came to apply His gospel to men's hearts, and by that things would change. And so He's in all these places, 1 Peter, Colossians, Ephesians, He said to the servants, "You be obedient to your masters. This is the position God's got you in. You need to be obedient, not just to the ones that are good to you, but to the froward." And the reason is because you're not doing it. You're not behaving as a manner to men. You're not serving men. Even though you're in a position where you are serving men, really, you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything you do, He said, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord." We have situations in our job that the Lord wants us to shape up a little bit in that. I've had people on my job that would complain, and maybe they'd get in a position where they could cut corners, and their justification for cutting corners, if I found out about it, I'd say, hey, wait, why are you doing this? Well, the customer will never know. We're not working for the customer. We're working for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have unpleasant tasks that we have to do sometimes. We're not working for ourselves or for our own pleasure. We're really not working to make our neighbors happy or to make our family happy or anything. That's part of it. But really, the goal is that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatsoever we do in this life, we need to do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. So in 1 Peter, if we go down to 1 Peter 2 and 13, it talks about being submissive to those that are in government. First Peter 2 and 13 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be unto the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. You catch this? The king is what? Just who won the election, or who? We've had elections that people have said this was fraudulent and all that, and people, do you think that in the Bible times that those people that they had as kings and governors, do you think all those people came to power fairly? No, they didn't, but the Lord allowed it. Everyone, Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel told him, he said, the Lord setteth up kings and he putteth down kings. Everyone that is in authority is someone that the Lord allowed. And the Lord speaks, the Proverbs says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord and he turns it whithersoever he will. And so, 1 Peter said, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. In Romans 13, it says it this way. It says they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. It says, for this, so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. You know, when you have a recipe and you put things in it, whatever you put in it is exactly what's going to come out. If you put in a bunch of different ingredients and you get pineapple muffins, that's because you put the ingredients to make pineapple muffins. You're not going to put the ingredients in for pineapple muffins and get strawberry shortcake. All right? So sometimes when we do things, the ingredients we put in our lives, we expect an outcome that we don't get. And it's because we have not properly considered the ingredients that we put into it. If we approach life and everything we do with the inner motivation of, I'm trying to make people look good about, think good about me. I want to look as holy and as spiritual as possible. All the different motivations that people had. I want people to approve of me. I don't want people to look bad at me. I don't want to look dumb. I want to look intelligent. You know that if we use those things as the motivation for all the things that we do, we are going to get the results of those motivations. It said, if a man for conscience sake, I lost my place here. If it's it says, if this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, everything I do, I'm not doing for my own profit. I'm not doing for it for the praise of them, for whatever they may think about me, but I'm doing it for God. And that is because I am an ambassador for God to bring His gospel. I'm coming to shine His light through me. Can't make up my own light. Can't manufacture anything in myself, but I come with whatever the Lord gives me to give to others. And that should be the mission of every one of us. For what glory is it, in the 20th verse, 1 Peter 2 and 20, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. This is the whole, the crux of the whole gospel, is that we are here to follow in the steps of Jesus. And the way that Jesus came and presented as an example is something that we could never do by ourselves without the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Anyone can be civil or kind to somebody that's kind to them. Anyone really can be kind to some, or you can cut me off. And I can, with, under my own power, I can answer kindly. But what's my heart doing? What's my heart doing? You see, any one of us can have, can we can do right. We can speak right, and we can look right, and we can dress right, and we can act right. But what's going on in our heart? You know that what's going on in my heart will eventually, if not now, it will eventually come out in the things that we do and in ways that we do not expect and are not able to pick up. I want you to consider an example. Children, learn languages. In our English language, we have around 170,000 words that are in common use. We don't use all of those. Different cultures, you go up north and there are different words that are in circulation than in the south and in the west. Different areas have different words. The average person has a vocabulary, average adult has a vocabulary of about 30,000 words. Anybody ever stop to think how children learn how to speak those words? By the time, my son there is two, and by the time, by now, he has learned just about everything I say he is able to comprehend. I never sat him down and gave him lessons on what this word means and that word. They learn entirely off of context, almost entirely. They learn that hungry means that I have a feeling inside that I need to eat, and they learn it from the context of all. They take it and they hear the word hungry in this sentence over here, then they hear it in this sentence over here, and their minds are smart enough where they can assign a very accurate definition to what those words mean. If you and I are doing things from our own motivations, I want to look good, I want to act good, I want people to think well of me. If we're doing it from those motivations, if nothing else, how do you think the children see us? If they're able to pick up our motivations, or if they're able to pick up an entire language based entirely off context, do you think that people, that we, when we raise our children, do you think our children are not able to pick up on what our true motivations are in life? They are. I can tell them, I can say this, see the kids, see this box? This box is the most important thing to me on this earth. I value it with my life. And I can tell them every day. And I can, I, I, in, I could tell them every day, don't forget, this is the most, this is a silly example, but I could tell them, this box here is the most important thing to me. But if they see me get out that box and stand on it for a stool to get a jar of pickles, and then the next day they see me forget and leave it outside because I wanted to stand on it for something else, and then it rains on it, I can tell them all day for the rest of my life how important that box is to me, but they're going to get a pretty accurate idea of how important that box really is to me based on the way I do things. And that's really, it's not just children. You and I, our actions and the motivations for them are starkly visible to everyone around us except us. We're the last people to realize that our motivations are not hidden as well as we think they are. Not to say that everybody's a hypocrite. I'm just saying that that we can live in a way where we think we look good and everything, but the Lord wants us to do everything as unto Him and not unto people. Not to look good, not to feel good, not to give a justification for why I live the way I do. Well, I'm going to go do this deed over here, and that kind of clears me where I can go do this now, and it doesn't really have anything to do with serving the Lord. This is what I wanted to do in the first place, and so I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to drop money in the offering box, and then I can go over here and do this. The Lord wants us to do things. And I just have a few examples that I want to give in our business dealings. You know, it says, well, before I get into that, let's keep reading in Romans 13. We really didn't turn to it, but I referenced it. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. In the sixth verse, and I don't discount the verses in between 1 and 6. We just don't have time to read everything I want to read this morning. The Lord is very specific about us being submissive and respectful unto authorities. Whoever is in our life, the policeman, I don't have the right to go down this road at 90 miles an hour because they're the powers that be have decided it's not safe, and I can't do it. In the sixth verse it says, "For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." Now, I just want to give a side note here. We have the example in Acts where they commanded Peter and John, I think it's Peter and John, not to speak in the name of Jesus. They said we ought to obey God rather than men. Anytime the Lord, the civil laws of this land cross God's laws, we have to make a choice, and obviously the choice is to obey God's law. But it says to owe no man anything but to love one another. For he, do you know we have a debt toward everyone that we come in contact with? That debt is that I'm going to love them. I'm going to love my neighbor just like I love myself. Now, how does that translate to going into a restaurant? Well, I found a little bit of dirt on my table, so I'm going to see if I can get my whole meal free. I found something that was a mistake that they made in pricing at the store. So I'm going to try to get this. I'm going to try to get them to give it to me for free, or for 99 cents instead of for $99 or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. You and I have a duty toward the people that we do business with. America is set up in such a way where business is there's a large factor of greed in it. I know, I do business every day, and you can get caught up in that, but our business dealings are not separate from our service to God. It's all right there in the same package. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. I have many, many opportunities in business where I can come away and give myself a little bonus at the expense of somebody else's bank account, and I can do it in a way that is legal and in the eyes of everyone else completely fair, sometimes including the person that's being shorted. But the Lord knows what the motivations of our heart are, and He wants us to do our business dealings with the concept that I have the debt. I have a debt of love toward the people I'm doing business with. I can't short them in business. I'm not going to cheat on my taxes to the government. Not going to do those kind of things. Those things are so prevalent in the world and in the nation today. It's become culturally acceptable in just about every circle, religious circles included, to where you can cheat on your taxes. You can do that sort of thing. I'm not up here for the purpose of offending anyone this morning, but I would just like to give you some of these words in the fear of the Lord. Let's go read a few other verses here in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Maybe down to the 22nd verse. Start in the 22nd verse. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Because they're stronger? Because they've established the superior rank in society, whatever that would mean. Maybe they did back then, and maybe they didn't. I don't know. As unto the Lord. That's what it says. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. If they always treat you perfectly, that's not what it says. Remember, Peter said, servants, submit to your own masters, not only to the good and gentle, but to the froward. Because it's unto the Lord. It's not unto a person. But men are not off the hook here. It says, well, we'll just go ahead and keep reading here. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Then it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. In the 28th verse, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. In other words, love your wife as unto the Lord. Submit yourself to your husband as unto the Lord. The Lord ordained different roles for people in this life. And the woman is not better than the man, and the man is not better than the woman, but they each have, you know, the family unit is under fierce attack in the world today. There are many things that are going on to undermine the beautiful plan that God made for a man and a woman to live together and raise a family together. A man and a wife create an unstoppable team when they're living in accordance with God's plan, and the structure is as it should be, and the man is not domineering and not overbearing, and looks out for his wife's interest before his own, and the wife looks at the man as being the head of the home, and it, when it works like that, it's a beautiful plan. It's the way the children grow up in a balanced environment to have a good, well-rounded outlook on life. It's the best chance a child can have to serve the Lord is to be raised in a home like that. May the Lord help each one of us that will be like that. It says, for we are members of His body, of Jesus Christ's body, of His flesh and of His bones. We're not doing things totally separate. You know that we, by the way that we have our family structure, we are showing the world what the body of Christ is like?
Yes.
You know that if we have... If we give other people a model of what the body of Christ is like, and it's grossly inaccurate, that they're going to have a wrong idea about who Christ is and about His body. Mm-hmm. People that are raised with an abusive father have trouble sometimes knowing God's love, and it's because God is the Father. It's a very, very simple concept. We do things as unto the Lord. That means that we are ambassadors promoting His cause in everything we do. It doesn't stop when we go out of this building. It doesn't stop tomorrow morning when we go to work. It doesn't stop when we go to the restaurant. And it doesn't stop when we're off work and we're relaxing at home. The Lord has things for us to do. Now I'd like to get a scripture in Matthew, the 25th chapter. It says in the 31st verse, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me in. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we an hungered, or fed Thee, or thirsty, and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger, and took Thee in, or naked, and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick, or in prison, and came unto Thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. And I would like to refer back to the scripture that we read in Romans. It says, owe no man anything. You know that we have a debt, as I said before, we have a debt toward every person that we're in contact with. Remember the scripture in 1 Corinthians 8. Maybe we'll just turn there. I'd like to get that. 1 Corinthians 8 and 10. I'll just read it. It says, if any man see thee which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against who? Against Christ. You sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, then I'm going to tell him to get some thicker skin. Is that what it says? It says, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. You see, each one of us have a debt of love to pay. And it's going to come in many different forms. What kind of circles do you have in your life? Every one of you has a sphere of influence. Some of you may have a lot of children in your life. Some of you may have some elderly people. Some of you may have some neighbors that are a little bit difficult. And some of you may have some people from different cultures that you have a hard time connecting with. But nevertheless, God put every one of those people into your life for a purpose. And we can, when we're around people, we can choose to do two things. We can either represent Christ to them, or we can drive them farther away from Him. There's really not any middle ground there. When we are with people, it says that what he's talking about here is people that had a weak conscience and they didn't have a lot of understanding. Paul said, we all have knowledge. I know that there aren't any other gods except the one true God. But he was in a place where not everybody knew that. Not everybody was persuaded of that. Even though they maybe had been told, they hadn't really got it yet. And he said that there are people that come in and they're just as saved as you and me. It said in Romans 14, it said, him that is weak in the faith, receive. Receive him just as much as you might have been saved for 50 years. And here's somebody that's been saved for 2 weeks and doesn't have hardly any understanding. But he's been saved and washed in the blood of Jesus. He might not look like you. He might not talk like you. He might not act like you. But the Lord's got a plan for him. And he's just as saved as you are. He said, receive him. Not to doubtful disputations. And he said that some of these people, they have beliefs that it's not just that you're going to hurt their feelings if you do this, but if you do this, it's something that they consider to be wrong in their mind. And if they see you do that, it's going to make them feel like, you know what, maybe I can do that too. And they'll do it against the pricks of their own conscience because they saw you do it. That's what he's talking about. He said, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? That means that it's their soul. It's their soul that perishes. And so I'm not going to do that. I owe a debt of love, and so I'm going to do whatever I have to do to help my brothers and sisters to make it to heaven, to be victorious, to get through life without stumbling at those things. Even if it means that I'm going to give up something of myself, I'm going to owe no man anything. Whether it's your children, your parents, your in-laws, your neighbors, whatever it is. You know, I'm going to take this principle and apply it. There's many ways that you can apply it. What about enemies? It says in Romans 12 and 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's who we're here to serve this morning. We're not here to serve ourselves. We're not here to really to have this club where we come to church club and we've all got this club card and we're all... No, we're here to serve the Lord. That's what we're here for. It said, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. It says, in honor, preferring one another. That's not just talking about people that are in your little church circle this morning. In the 20th verse, it says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You ever go to a place and you could tell real quick whether the employee that was waiting on you was invested in the business or not? There's a big difference. You see somebody that's just willing to waste their... I've gone to fast food restaurants before and said, could I have a little ketchup with my fries? Oh, sure. And they'll reach over, and some of them don't do this, but they'll reach over and grab this great big old handful. One time we counted them because it was so funny. You just don't, here it is, 37 ketchup packets. We counted them and we just asked for a little ketchup. Oh yeah. They gave us 37 ketchup packets. You know what my wife and I said? That employee doesn't have any stake in the business. He's not losing any money by doing it. And so he doesn't care. Remember what Jesus said? He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling. He doesn't have anything invested in the work of God. He's somebody that, and I want to tell you that the religious world today is full of hirelings. People that have they have an interest in making money. They have an interest in being important. They have an interest in being powerful. They have an interest in comfort, but they do not have an interest invested in people's souls. You and I are called to be ambassadors of Christ, not just the person that stands in the pulpit, but every one of us are called to be ambassadors for Christ. It says, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Now, this comes down really close to us in our life. That is why I'm gonna tell you something. I can lay the ingredients out and you can apply them in your own life. But I will tell you, this is my personal conviction. But if I was drafted to go and fight a war for my country, I want to preface it by saying this. I appreciate very much the sacrifice that people make for our country. I appreciate them having the willingness to give their lives, and but I want to tell you that we are ambassadors for Christ. I cannot go and kill my fellow human beings. And that's not all that goes on. When you have a war, all manner of vices are acceptable during war. You go over there, do you think you're going to go somewhere and fight a war without lying, without stealing, without killing? Those kind of things are not of the Lord or of the gospel. They are man's way of solving problems. We are called to something higher than that. We're called to shine the light of the gospel of Christ to people. We're called to spread the good news that transforms people's lives so that they will want to be at peace with each other instead of fight each other. We are called to spread the good news of salvation where people don't feel the need to take and grab and lust and kill and all of those things. We're ambassadors for Christ. You see, if we don't have any interest in other people's souls, and I want every one of you, you don't have to answer out loud, but every one of you, ask yourself in your heart, am I an hireling for the gospel, or am I an ambassador for Christ? See, Jesus said, well, I keep saying ambassador for Christ. That scripture comes from 2 Corinthians 5:20. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Everything that Jesus promoted, we need to promote. Everything that Jesus loved, we need to love. Everything that Jesus hates, we need to hate. I'm not talking about hating people. We never are against people. We are against the things that the power of Satan brings people under. We want to set people free because Jesus wanted to set people free. He said, sin is never characterized in the scriptures as something that's nice to have but forbidden. It was characterized as a leprosy, as a disease, as something that binds, that controls, that an evil master. Jesus said, I came to set people free. We need to have the motivation in our life. I'm going to do everything as to the Lord, and I'm going to take the gospel to people, not for my own profit, but as furthering the kingdom of God. Every dealing that I have with every single member of mankind is to the Lord. You can see this all through the Bible. Remember when Ananias and Sapphira lied, and they took land and they sold it. And they brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, you know that the problem was not that they kept back part of the price. Peter said, you had the right to do that. But you came with the illusion, with the deception of making yourself look better than you were. You kept 100,000, so to speak, and you gave 500,000 to the church. I don't know what the amounts were, but you kept some back. But the illusion was that you gave the whole thing. And so everybody thinks you gave this piece of property, but you gave this piece of property and you went and bought a boat. I'm talking in modern terms. He said, you didn't really lie to men. You lied to God. When we live to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we sin against the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us that we will have a fervent desire to please the Lord, and that everything we do will be for the furtherance of His kingdom. When we do our business, let's do it as unto the Lord. When we go out to eat, let's go out to eat as unto the Lord. When we deal with our children, let's deal with our children as unto the Lord. When we deal with each other in marriage, let's have a marriage as unto the Lord. Yes. Pray for me.